Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MB Pro call. Today is January 10th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live as well as those of you listening via recording, which, of course, you can do by going to iTunes and subscribing to MotoVitality or Google Podcast and listening to it there if you have an Android, and or if you just want to listen to Google Podcasts. I think you can even do that somewhere else. You don't have to have an Android to listen to Google. But anyway, you can do that. You can listen to it live, but we are recorded, but we love it when you're here live. We love to have these conversations. So thank you very much. So I also wanted to mention that if you are interested in certification, we are working our way through the MEP, the WQA certification courses, and that is, we're starting the fundamentals course next Wednesday at, it'll be 8:30 Eastern. We're starting those. So if you're interested, and if you missed the basics or you want to go through the basics, we do have those pre-recorded so you can kind of watch the courses. That's separate from WQA, remember. So you don't have to use, MotoVitality doesn't have to be involved at all. But if you're looking for a mentor or somebody to get you through that, then there's that. And also want to invite everybody, if you haven't done so, on Monday mornings, either Jen or myself, and sometimes both of us on a Monday or Tuesday, we've been doing these little Facebook Live things. So I'd appreciate your feedback on them, you know. Go check them out. We do those. We're doing those at 8:30 on Monday mornings. And they're kind of casual and laid back and Jen's are a lot better than mine, so look for her when she's doing them. I just sort of ramble about what happens to be on my brain, and kind of it's like my brain aligning for the week is what you see on Monday. Jen gives thoughts of hers before she goes live and starts speaking to the public out there. Good lesson to follow, by the way. Anyway, I'm going to start the call off the way I do just about every week, which is by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that they wish they had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Anybody have anything? So we are going to talk about one of the things that came up from somebody on the topic today, but I did get...
Kelly,
go ahead.
If nobody else, can you hear me? If nobody else has anything, I do have a quick, if anything, it's just a reminder. I know we have, most of the people we have on here are in sales, but we do have owners and service managers and managers that jump on here and just a reminder that when the service department, whether it's after they're doing service or after they have an installation, I think it's really, really important that they have some sort of a checklist that they make sure that they retest water is soft, and make sure the water is metering, and make sure, just kind of, because we're all human, and sometimes we make mistakes, some of us more than others. and things are overlooked. And I want to put the importance of having checklists, make sure everything's working okay. Nothing's more frustrating to the salesperson that when they go back out 2 weeks later and things are not working, or they get a phone call in the middle of the night and things aren't working and they have to send out another service tech, and it's kind of frustrating. So just a little reminder.
I think that's good advice for all the positions, sales and service. And, you know, what I found when I found that was going to be very beneficial for me, I used to mess up on plumbing. I still do sometimes, you know, because I don't do it every day, you know, several times a week or whatever anymore. So when I'm training, I have to make sure that I use that plumbing assessment form where we're going down with the checklist to make sure everything's covered, because I think what we find, and I think you see this with service techs and sales people as well, sales professionals as well, is that the better we get at everything, the more comfortable we get, the more we don't use the checklist. When you're brand new, of course you use a checklist because you can't remember what you're supposed to do. You know, so you go down and you do the checklist. And so you don't make mistakes. But mistakes get made the more comfortable you get, and that's when it becomes more critical to use the checklist, you know, to go through and do that. We do have a for sales professionals, we do have a professional, you know, plumbing assessment form on the website that you can download and modify and do whatever, you know, whatever you want with it. But, yeah, good advice, Jen. And I know where that's coming from, too, and you're right. You know, especially when for a sales professional, we're coming into a slow month. I mean, this is, of course, any time. But, you know, what sometimes can be a slow month, January or February, to have the sales that you're working really hard to get and the referrals and all of that stuff to go out there and find that you've got an angry customer because the system was installed backwards or not turned on or something like that. And that just kills the, you know, the limited referral opportunities already. You know, maybe not if there's one mistake, but if there's a few mistakes, that's a problem, you know. So good feedback. One other thing before we kind of go into our topic that I wanted to mention, I had a longtime MV Pro. This is actually one of the guys I talked to him. He's a member of MotoVitality, and he's been, you know, utilizing our services for quite a while. But he listens to the calls on recording. He's one of the ones that down. Hey, Sam. But there's a guy that Sam Tyler that has a water treatment company that he sent me an email and asked me to if I would be part of this group, this kind of water treatment professionals Facebook group. And what he wants to do is try and duplicate a forum similar to what way back when, 20 years ago, I used to go to Water Technology Magazine bulletin board. And it was great because it was sort of a digital version of what this call is. It's not real time, but we didn't talk. They really discourage you to talk product or company, but people could go on and ask a question. And I learned so much from it early on. I mean, I would go in and just read, you know, professionals and just suggestions of what they had for treatment and stuff like that. And it's hard. A lot of the Facebook groups that are out there now that I've seen, or the LinkedIn groups, a lot of them become, I mean, they just kind of bash each other. I mean, in today's climate, it's not unusual to see people get nasty with each other on a digital format. And so I've bailed out of a few of them, even if there's some good information. I don't, there's enough nastiness going on everywhere else. I don't need to see it in the professional world. But sometimes I just want to get a couple different objective opinions about what works, you know. And I get that you have passion for your particular technology or product and all of that, but that, you know, I don't know that that helps us a ton. But anyway, Sam Tyler has put together this group. I sent out a link on our Facebook page and our LinkedIn page as well, but check it out. We're just now building it. I like he's building it. I'm just a member of it, but he tells me that his intent is from the beginning to set a precedent to where it is a digital form, sort of like this call, where we can get on there and talk to each other and about things that we all run into and give advice and feedback and everything. I've thought about putting something like that together for MotoVitality for a long time, but when Sam sent me that email, I thought, okay, we'll let Sam manage it and see how that goes. So check it out, participate, ask questions, grow. That's it's just do a Facebook search for water treatment pros, and check it out on there. So okay, anybody else have anything before we jump into our topic today? All right, so we had one of our longtime MV pros email and ask for a suggestion. And I loved it because sometimes I'm struggling to come up with topics and ideas for this call. So like, yes, this is a great question and a great topic for the Envy Pro Call. So basically, this person had a customer, and we've all had these customers out there, that they just feel like they can, you know, like they have a right to threaten us almost, you know? And so the topic of this conversation today is, you know, was, well, I guess you don't really want my business, do you? If you won't do this, then if you won't lower the price, I guess you really don't want my business, do you? I mean, which, you know, I'm saying it kind of snide, but the truth is, it's kind of nasty. So I'm going to speak in a non-politically correct way here for a minute, the way I wouldn't necessarily say it in front of a customer, but I kind of want to set the stage and let you guys know where I come from on this, and then I would kind of settle down and give you some suggestions on how to handle this, and I'd love to have a discussion on this topic and see what you guys think about it, but here's what I think. I think it kind of makes me mad when somebody does that, because I am a straight commission, in many cases, sales professional. This is my livelihood. If I am working on commission and I'm honest and I have integrity, which I do, because I'm a professional, not just a sales guy, okay, if I have that, then this is my livelihood. I am earning the income that I am making. I'm out there, you know, learning and becoming a professional and trying to help and give more than I take and all the things that we've talked about before. And I don't know where my frustration is directed exactly, whether it's with a customer that asked me to give that high quality, top of the line service and product for an economy price. I don't know if it's frustration with that, or if it's frustration with the other sales companies out there, the sales people out there. And I think this is probably where it stems from. It has to start from here. So we can't totally blame the customers for this, right? Because there have been plenty of those companies out there that they go out there, especially in the water treatment industry or, you know, in car dealerships or whatever, where they start with this price, but nobody expects that they're going to pay that price. And they all know that it comes down to the haggling and the dropping and the, you know, I mean, you start at $8,000 for this softener and reverse osmosis system and soap package and all that stuff, and then next thing you know, it's $5,500 and, you know, $2,500. Wait a minute. You mean that 30 minutes ago, had I said yes, I would have had to have spent $2,500 more than what I'm having to spend right now? There's enough margin in there that you can drop that price, $2,500. Where's price integrity with that? Basically, you would have been totally happy, in fact, happier, had you walked out of this house screwing me for $2,500 versus a $5,500. And I think some customers feel a sense of accomplishment. Man, I got that sales guy down to $5,500. You know, but nobody's happy in that scenario. Not really. And I think that is the sales organizations that do that are willing, that don't have price integrity, that are willing to drop the price that much and haggle that much and do all of that. I think they're the reasons that customers ask us for ridiculous discounts, right? So, and this, so we can't totally blame this on the customer. On the other hand, what other companies can you go in there? I mean, go, you know, you look at the car dealerships, right? You go to a car dealership, to a Mercedes dealership, and you say, I want to lease a Mercedes, but I only want to pay the amount that I would pay for that Kia. All right, not knocking Kia or, you know, anything. I mean, there are different things, right? Each one has their levels of quality. Most people would say a Kia is not at the same level as a Mercedes or a BMW. I mean, obviously there are different qualities of those. So I'm not knocking. I'm just using them as an example. So hopefully nobody's offended if it sounds like I'm bashing a Kia. but that's it, nobody expects that. I mean, you know, or if you keep it within Ford, right? Nobody expects to be able to lease a Ford Fusion or a Focus or to lease a fully loaded F-150 4x4 extended cab pickup truck, the $70,000 truck. Nobody, how could you possibly, does it even cross somebody's mind to expect to lease that for the same amount as they would a little four-door Focus or Fusion? I mean, are you guys with me on this? Everybody there? I'm tangenting here, I know. But you guys following me? Everybody still there?
We're following you.
Yes.
Right. So I don't understand, or even if I do understand, I don't, I think we have to work to fix it, to change it slowly, one customer at a time. Those customers that do the same thing to us, I get this email from one of our, one of the sales professionals that we work with that said this customer was just not necessarily nasty, but it still is nasty, even if it's said in a polite way to say, I want, so they care, this company carries a softener, one of the best made. It is a manufacturer, a brand that is right up there, toe-to-toe with the top of the line anywhere else in the industry. It is a really good system. And they rent it for, in this, I think it's $60 or $65 a month. And given the service that this company offers and the quality of this particular softener and the product and everything, it is worth every penny and more. Well, this customer shopped around and said, well, your prices are way too high. I can go to competitor A and get it your prices are way out of line. I can get a softener for half of that at this competitor A. And if you can give me that HE softener for $35 a month, or else I'm going to go, or I guess if you're not going to do that, you don't really want my business. Like actually in this instance, they said to the sales professional, you should give me that. And the sales professional says, we don't have the ability to do that. I don't have the ability to do that. And the guy says, well, then get me somebody who does. I want to talk to the owner. And so he demands to go straight up to the owner. And it puts the owner in a position where he has to come back. And now, and in the email conversation, the sales professional says, or the customer says, well, if the owner won't give me that price, then he doesn't really want my business. Okay. Here's what I think. I think that there are a lot of things wrong with this scenario. First off, nobody can expect to a company, how can you sustain top-of-the-line service, top-of-the-line product, and lowest price, all three at the same time? You just can't. That not for a long time you can't. You cannot sustain that because there is a cost associated with ordering a top-of-the-line product and providing top-of-the-line service. There's a cost associated with that. And so the one mistake this customer made is making the assumption automatically that we do want his business. Okay, we want his business. We want the opportunity to serve him, but not if it's going to cost us money. It doesn't make any sense for any of us to pay a customer to be able to serve them. Why would we do that? Why would we pay them to work extra hard and give them the best stuff? That doesn't make it. So, I would love, I'm sure the guy who sells Mercedes would love to have the person who can only afford a Kia. I'm sure they would love to be able to help them and get their referrals and all of that stuff. But some people, you just can't close everybody. And so I think that's the first thing we need to say there is, look, yes, I do love your business. I would love your business. I would love the opportunity to earn your referrals. But not, I can't pay you for that. I'm not a not-for-profit. We are not not-for-profits. We have to, make an income. So while I would hate it that you went to competitor A, sometimes, if that's what you feel you have to do, just understand that what you're missing there is a top of the line product and top of the line service and the follow up and the warranty and all of this stuff. I mean, you get what you pay for, So I think that we have to be willing and able to have that very frank conversation with our customers, you know, with our customers to let them know that, yeah, we, I mean, it's like, you know, what's a big retail store, you know, it's like standing and you work at a big retail store and you're upset or angry that people are shopping for tools at Big Lots or Arbor Freight, right? You know, you work at a like high-end Bosch, you know, tools, right? Or whatever, and you get mad that somebody buys a tool from Arbor Freight. Yeah, you know, it's not the same. It's not the same product. Some people, that's all they can afford. That's all they can afford to do. We cannot demean ourselves because they don't have the ability to buy the top-of-the-line stuff, you know? So I think here's what we need to do, just sort of consolidate what I'm saying with this. I think we need to, first off, acknowledge to the customer that we would love to have their business, but we're not desperate for it, okay? I think that what this guy did to this sales professional is he made the assumption that we were desperate for this sale, like that one sale, and it was a rental at that, okay, which means that he wanted to rent it for that, which means this company puts in new pieces of equipment for rentals. I mean, that's like at that price, that's like a 6-year return on investment. It makes no sense whatsoever in any universe for us to put in that piece of equipment at that low of a price. There is no universe where that makes sense to do it because of the time frame of, you know, 5 or 6 years before the company would see the first bit of return, you know, before they would begin to pay for that or to make any money at all on that. So it makes no sense whatsoever. So we would, the first thing we need to do is let that customer know that while we want their business, we're not desperate for it. This guy made the assumption that we were so desperate for his business that we were going to be willing to, you know, to drop the price that much. Be proud of your prices, of your service, of your product, of what you offer. Take pride in it and don't demean. What would it say if we did? I mean, this thing rents at $65 a month the guy wanted to rent it at $35 a month. What does that say? Doesn't that say the same thing about price integrity? If we were willing to do that, wouldn't it say, I mean, where's the benefit? So then the guy goes out there and brags about it. I got them down to, they rented this thing to me for $35 a month and it was supposed to be $65. That says to the people he's talking to about that, it says one of two things. Either we don't have price integrity because we had our prices way too high, because otherwise who in their right mind would drop it down to $35? Obviously we're still making money if we can rent it for $35 a month. It either says that, it says that we don't have integrity, starting with price integrity, okay, or it perpetuates the problem. That guy goes out there and then we get a referral from his brother-in-law who then does the same thing. Well, you rented this system to my brother-in-law for $35 a month. Why won't you do it for me? So then now you've got two pieces of equipment out there that takes you 5 or 6 years to get a return on investment. There, you got to look at the cost benefit of that and be willing to have that very frank and honest conversation with your customer and sometimes say no. Sometimes you just got to say no. Look, I'd love to have your business. I would love to have the opportunity to earn your referrals. I really would. And I recognize that this one is not the least expensive system you can get. I would, you know, but I also understand that not everybody is going to put the system in. We do carry this other system here that is closer to the price range that you're looking for. It will give you 100% soft water. It just doesn't have all the bells and whistles that the better quality one has. Okay, that's my thoughts on it. You guys, I'm gonna shut up for like a second here and let you guys tell me what you think. What do you think about this? You run into this? Have you ever had this?
Yeah, and I would be interested to know if, because I know I've run into it, you know, how did other people handle it? If somebody says, well, I want to talk to the owner, how did the owner handle it if they contacted that person? Anybody?
Yeah, we do run into it. I had a guy that was wanting to buy out his rental. To be real honest, if that guy stepped in front of my car, I'd probably gun the engine to this day, because he was flat out bully.
Right. Okay. So Stacy runs over people.
Stacey.
Got it.
Yes.
Stacy's. So violence is one option. That's good.
Yes. And this guy was a full-fledged bully on wanting the discounting the buyout price. Yeah. And we finally gave it to him, basically.
I hate that.
To get him out of our hair. The funny thing is the thing was like 13, 14 years old already. When he called and left me a message that he had a service issue, I'm sorry. I texted him back, you need to call service.
Yeah.
I tried convincing him. He didn't want to spend the money on one that old. He wanted to buy a new one. Nope. And I'm like, I told you then you had no warranties. But the guy was, and the more I thought about it, the angrier I got with the way this guy treated me. I'm like, would he have done this if I were a male salesperson?
Mm-hmm. I think that probably there is some truth to that, because this other instance that I'm telling you about happened with a female sales professional as well. And so, you know, but I can tell you as a man, that has happened to me as well.
Yeah.
You know, it definitely has happened to me. I think what might be a little different is in this instance that I was talking about today, the customer demanded to go above her head. And I don't know how often that has happened to me, you know, where somebody wanted to go over my head. And that's insulting, you know. And so let me say this. Professionally, we are supposed to, you know, this is what we do professionally, and you deal with jerks, right, sometimes out there. On the other hand, I'm going to say this, and I don't know if there are owners or managers listening out there, but when I was sales manager, and Jen can attest to this, I have zero tolerance for somebody treating somebody on the team that I serve with a lack of respect. I don't need your business that much. And while I would love to have a business out there, just because you're an asshole doesn't give you the right to, you know what, screw it. You don't deserve me. Go to the competitor. You know, because I know what I offer, and I don't, like you said, I don't want your business. The fact is, you guys, you know, you read the books and you're supposed to bite and swallow your, you know, do all of that stuff and everything. And I think you should, you got to be respectful and all that. But man, don't demean, there is no job worth giving up your dignity for. There is no water softener, no job, no piece of equipment ever worth giving up your dignity. So when somebody is being just demeaning and rude and nasty, don't be demeaning, rude, and nasty to them back, but you don't have to continually kiss their butt. You know, one other thing I wanted to mention about that, this guy and the guy that we started, you know, the other guy that we're talking about, you know what? He obviously recognized, this is the thing that you got to kind of think about. He obviously recognized that this piece of equipment was a better piece of equipment than what the competitors had to offer. Otherwise, he would have just gone to the competitor and paid the lower price.
Yeah.
So we did a good enough job of convincing him that our equipment was better. He just wanted it for their crappy equipment's lower price. You know, so, I mean, you know, and this guy that you're talking about, Stacy, it's the same thing. He obviously saw that your equipment was better. You know, otherwise, why would he what's the purpose of continually calling you? So I want it for this price. No, most reasonable people would go somewhere else and buy it and see if they could find something for that price. But no, he wants to bully you and keep, because he wants top of the line for economy pricing. And it just, there are some people like that. Last couple minutes, anybody else have any final thoughts on this?
We do run into a particular culture of people that they will tell you it is their responsibility in their culture to trick you or lie to you if they need to get a better deal, because they take pride and satisfaction in that.
Yep.
And
yep, there are definitely those.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we run into it a lot, and we used to have a sales rep that would discount them all the time, and we're still trying to tell them, Ted is no longer with us. We fired him for discounting too much. We didn't. He retired. But.
but we ran over him with a car. That's how much
exactly.
We like the discounting. He stepped in front of me. Anyway. And on
I have to be nice. He lives not too far from me. But.
Right. Right. On that note, you guys, we are out of time. That is the call today. Listen, I so appreciate all of you. Thank you so much, everybody, for humoring me and my tangents. I hope you got some value out of it. It's my honor to serve you in this way. So thank you, everybody. Be safe. We will talk to you next week, if not before. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks.